This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
And they throw a quick hitter to Coleman, who catches it over the head of Woolen for a touchdown. Keon Coleman went up and pulled it off the roof. Steps up in the pocket, throws, has Kincaid lunging into the end zone for the touchdown. It's a 12-yard touchdown reception for the tight end Kincaid.
It's Mike Shope.
Hand off to Cook, going to try to bounce it outside. It's a race to the pylon, and he's in for a 2-yard touchdown run. The Cook is in the kitchen.
And the Bulldog.
Hand off goes to Cook, right up the gut. And into the end zone for his second rushing touchdown of the game. A 7-yard touchdown run for James Cook.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I've just been notified. The Sabres have won three games in a row?
No, that can't be true. You're making that up.
The Sabres and the Bills are both on three-game win streaks, everybody. Welcome to the program. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is out sick today. It is a Buffalo Football Monday, which feels pretty good, I got to tell you right about now. Doesn't it feel pretty good? I hope it feels good. Football Monday is brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. So no Mike, but we will have our usual Monday cast of characters, and that even brings Sal into it. Normally we don't visit with Sal on Buffalo Football Monday, but with Mike not here, I wanted to touch base with Sal. So he'll be with us at 5. Eric Wood will join me at 4. And yeah, those pesky streaking Sabres, they will barge in at 6 o'clock when Paul Hamilton will join us for the Buffalo Sabres pregame show. They host Florida tonight. So we'll get to hockey eventually. I know we're all here for Football Monday. And I'm really being serious. It feels really good, doesn't it? I know the Chiefs are still out there. And I don't have a newfound idea for how the Bills can better tackle Derrick Henry should they see him and the Ravens again come January. It's hard to imagine a scenario where you wouldn't have to play at least one of those two teams once the playoffs get here. And, like, I know that the, the postseason, the playoffs are what all of the attention is going to be on and really has been on for, I don't think it's just a new thing this year, but with each January that comes and goes with the Bills not getting to a Super Bowl and even actually winning a Super Bowl, I think more and more focus becomes, and rightly so, I'm not here to tell you this is wrong, the focus, the attention is simply on what is going to happen when they get there. And a season like they're having this year, not just the Bills' own record, but what's going on around them in the division, I mean, it is a disaster for everybody else in the division. Miami is facing a week 9 must-win situation, I think basically is where they're at, coming in here to play the Bills next Sunday at 1 o'clock. The Bills are sitting at 6-2. Miami's 2-5. The Patriots and the Jets, not that we were worried about the Patriots at all to begin the year. Some of you were probably worried about the Jets. I was not really worried. I guess I was worried I'd be wrong about the Jets. I thought the Jets would be bad, and they're bad. 2-6 is where they're at as well. So the division feels like a formality almost through 8 weeks. I'm saying almost simply because I don't want to assume that nothing will go wrong. But sitting where we're sitting right now, you know what I'm reminded of? Just you know, sitting ruminating, like, how do I want to express how I'm feeling about this team right now? I feel great about this team right now. I don't have a new idea for how they're going to beat the Chiefs in January. Just, you know, maybe not make mistakes and make your field goals and don't punt on fourth and ones and stuff. You know, just stuff that we normally get really hot and bothered about. We'll worry about that when we get there. There are times I feel like during these seasons where it's important to remember to enjoy the process. This is going to get a little hand clappy, McDermott-y maybe. I don't know. I might be on some thin ice here with some of you. But I think you have to enjoy the ride here. And what I'm reminded of today, in part because they just played an opponent that tripped a wire for me initially back in the 2020 season. It doesn't exactly line up with the calendar because in 2020, they beat the Seahawks in week 9. All right, so 1 week later than where we are on the calendar right now. And they beat the Seahawks at home to improve to 7-2. And they beat them 44-34. And that, for me, was a game that at the time Seattle still, Russell Wilson was being talked about as an MVP candidate. We didn't really know exactly what we had in Allen yet. I mean, he had just started really breaking through in 2019. In 20, I would say he kind of took the league by storm. But it's still, you know, you're halfway through a season and your quarterback is playing like at an MVP level and you're just not sure how sticky it is yet. Like, is this real? And the Seattle game for me that year was week 9. They improved to 7-2. And that was the game for me where I went, you know what? This team could win the Super Bowl. This team is that good. This team could go and do something we've never seen one of our teams do, which is win the championship. And really, for me, I know they lost the next week in Arizona and then didn't lose again until the AFC title game in Kansas City in January of 21, as it turned out. That was a moment for me when I said, this team is as good as anybody in the league. This quarterback is playing at an insanely high level, and I've got a team that could do it. And, you know, they weren't quite ready for Kansas City in the AFC Championship game, and that game was really not even that close, and it was kind of disappointing and was the first of what has now become an all-too-regular occurrence for us, watching them bow out in January and twice more since then to the Chiefs. But that does not change the fact that sitting here right now, I feel great about them. I feel, yes, I have a Kansas City problem. I may have a Baltimore problem. I mean, they trampled you. So, you know, we'll worry about that when we get there. But I feel like yesterday was such a dominant performance. Just all coaching, you know, the plan they had on both sides of the ball, how dominant they were at the line of scrimmage, especially on offense. That offensive line was just mashing the Seahawks in this game. And I think the thing that is putting me kind of over the top today, feeling really positive about them, is that I feel like they are in the process of rediscovering their swagger in the passing game. I think they're going to get there. And there are a number of reasons that I believe that. Of course, chief among them is the guy who holds the ball on every play. Josh Allen, to me, looks fantastic and completely in charge and in control. Keon Coleman is emerging as a story for this team this year, much sooner than I anticipated. Like, I just did not think a rookie wideout drafted where he was drafted would end up being as impactful a player as he's being. But Keon Coleman is a star on the rise and a story in the league this year for the Buffalo Bills. they're just checking a lot of boxes for me. And I feel like, sure, I've got Kansas City looming out there. They just can't seem to lose. they played better than they've been playing yesterday in knocking off the Raiders. But I do not feel like any team is just punching at a level that the Bills can't punch at. Yes, I know what the Ravens game looked like a few weeks ago. It was one day, and it was a bad scene. And I blame the Bills' offense just as much. And I just don't think once they get up and running fully here with their passing game that I'm going to have to worry as much about that. Again, I still don't know how I'm going to handle Derrick Henry next time we see him, if we do. But I think I'll trust that the Bills are going to be able to at least keep up in a game if they get into that game with a team like Baltimore. I just don't see a team out there that it's definitely to me not the Chiefs at this point. I mean, the Chiefs are they have the unbeaten record, but they are not unassailably above and beyond the Bills. In accomplishment, yes, they are. Of course. I mean, they've won the three Super Bowls already, and they've won the last two in a row, and they have the perfect record so far this year. But watching them play, to me, that is not a team that I'm worried about the Bills being able to hang with at all. I think it'll be very much like in a few weeks when they meet here in Orchard Park, like the games against the Chiefs have been. It's probably going to be close, and if the Bills lose, we'll probably find a reason that McDermott did something that will make us really mad. I mean, maybe that'll happen again. I don't know. So I know the history, and I know what's in the closet and how scary it can be, but man, I just feel really, really great about this team right now. Yeah, see, and look, Seattle's not a heavyweight contender, but they're also not a team you should just expect to walk over. They are a team that was leading the league in passing yards coming into that game. Geno Smith was throwing it all over the place. And I know sitting here on Friday, I was really worried about this game in particular without Terrell Bernard. And, I mean, the Bills just, they had some good fortune on their side. Sure, you know, the snap going over their head really wasn't a thing the Bills did to the Seahawks. Geno Smith tripping on his center's foot on another play, fourth down and goal, by the way, pretty big moment. Also not a play you really get a lot of credit for defending, but so they had their breaks. But that to me is at least a good team on the road, long trip. Hostile has been a hostile place to play. I don't feel like it was very hostile yesterday. Geno Smith, even in his post-game comments, mentioned that at times he felt like they were playing on the road, the home team, the Seattle Seahawks. And that's a hat tip. I mentioned this on post-game yesterday, and it wasn't even – like something that was brought up by a caller. I just wanted to volunteer it. So impressed by the fans, that the thousands of fans that made their way to Seattle. I don't know how far and from how wide you people traveled to that game from, but I mean, I know I've got some friends who are from Buffalo who were there. Just what a great scene to do that in that stadium. I mean, that's a place that has a reputation for a reason. And I feel like the Bills just went in there and just tipped it upside down. Really, really impressed with that. But really, it's more just in the big scheme of things, I feel like the Bills have as good a look at a Super Bowl as they had back in early November of 2020, when this was all just blasting off. What I think, you know, what you have to do in order to like get all the way on the ride with me is set aside how the losses in the playoffs make you feel, because they have absolutely no bearing on what's going to happen this January. They just don't. You can think they do. It's hard. It happens to me too. I think, oh, this team, oh, this spot, oh, you know, they got our number, that, you know, that kind of stuff. That's not real. These teams will meet again, and we will see what happens when they do. But I don't see anything that's happening in the league this year in either conference that tells me anybody is too good for this Bills team. I think they can get on the field and throw with just about anybody. And throw is the operative word. I mean, I love how they're asserting themselves on the ground, and they've got this offensive line, I think by design, that can really do work up front. I mean, I'm hearing stories. I heard Chris Brown twice today tell this story. I heard him on the morning show, and then I heard him talking on my way in today on One Bills Live, talking about how David Edwards, during the game, in the huddle, was telling James Cook, this is where the hole is going to be. And I'll get into this with Eric Wood in about 45 minutes when he joins us for his regular Monday appearance. But I don't think that's a very common thing. But the Bills, I think, were so prepared and so confident in what they were going to be doing that it got to the point where Edwards was telling Cook in the huddle, like, this gap or that gap. And normally that's, you know, it's up to the running back. You're going to see it and react accordingly and hopefully hit the right seam. But they've really done a great job up front. But what I liked so much about yesterday, and it really, I think, tailed nicely on the heels of last week's home win against Tennessee, is that the Bills asserted themselves through the air as well. Like, yes, they were able to run it and almost, I don't want to say at will, because if you could run it at will, you maybe would never stop. But the Bills and Joe Brady had a mind to sort of tip, I think, a tendency upside down. We know how run-heavy they've been overall. They've been even more run-heavy on first downs. For, like, I think 60% of first downs have been run plays. And the Bills, when they broke through here under Daboll and then even under Dorsey, one of the advanced metrics that a lot of folks like to put their arms around was the neutral rate. Neutral game situation pass rate and first down pass rate. And the Bills scored very favorably in that area the previous 3.5 or 4 seasons. And I say 3.5 because I think it did change late last year once Brady took over for Dorsey. Yesterday, they tipped that upside down. In the first half of this game, I heard this again from Chris Brown. Thank you, Chris. 9 out of 14 first downs were passes yesterday in the first half of the game. That's a tendency buster. That is something that Seattle probably was not prepared for, and it started right away. I mean, you got a big pass to Dawson Knox on the first offensive play of the game after your defense stepped up and delivered you a 3-and-out on the first series of the game. And just very encouraged by that. Now that Cooper is in the fold, and I've got Coleman emerging, and Shakir has come on exactly like I thought he would. He is just so reliable. He has caught 36 of 38 passes thrown his way. That is a ridiculous accuracy rate. Of course, the quarterback deserves a lot of credit for that too. Allen is putting it on him. But for Shakir to only have missed on 2 opportunities to catch balls this year is remarkable. He's fantastic with the ball in his hands, and I just feel like this offense is evolving as this year goes on, and I think we'll continue to do that as Cooper gets more and more acclimated here. He didn't do a lot in the game statistically, only caught the 1 pass, lost his footing on Josh's first interception of the year, tough timing there. I thought yesterday on postgame, when we were talking about his impact, that, you know, watching it, I just didn't feel like, now I didn't think to look for him on every play, but my sense was that he didn't play much. And, you know, how much is much? He played the second most snaps of any receiver on the team. It was still only 50%. Excuse me, third most. Shakir was just ahead of him, I think, at 54%. Coleman was the guy who was on the field constantly for this team yesterday. But even half the snaps, I thought, was more than I expected to see on the stat sheet from having watched the game. It was such a quiet game from Cooper. I wasn't sure that he was out there a lot. We had people calling us and wondering, is he impacting? Is the reason Shakir and Coleman are doing what they're doing because Cooper's there and drawing coverage away? And when somebody brought it up, I said, I don't want to say yes or no without having looked at some highlights, first of all. Second of all, I'm not sure how much he even played. He played enough for that to be true. That you know, it's possible that has had the desired impact. I just feel like it's all arrows pointing up right now for this team, and we should enjoy it because it's a long ways. I know nothing is going to really matter until we get to the end here in January, but man, This team is among the very best teams in the league, is what they are. I don't think they're the best anymore. After 3 weeks, I thought that, and then they got trampled by Baltimore, and they're like, okay, I got to stop with that. they no longer look like the best team in the league, but they certainly still look like one of the best teams in the league, and I feel great about where they're at right now. Very nice Miami coming in. It's Indianapolis after that, and then the big showdown with Kansas City. And sitting at 6-2 with the division in shambles behind them, it just feels really, really good right now to me. 803-0550 is the number. You know how it usually works. When one of us is not here, there's a little more time for you folks to get in and get involved in the show, and I certainly will welcome that starting right now at 803-0550. That is the way to reach me, and let's lead off with Mark. Mark, hi. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
Thanks for having me on. To your point of what you just said about the division being in shambles, I almost feel like we already got our golden ticket. I mean, granted, Josh Allen's health, you know, knock on wood, we're dead, but, you know, we're a free ticket punched already to the playoffs. If you're Brandon Bean, what do you address next? I mean, is it still receiver? I just feel like a move still should be had. Now, based on the long term, based on what we've been in the past going into January with a banged-up defense, we're getting Milano back healthy, hopefully, after the bye. My point is, you know, Von Miller can hopefully, hang in there, but we've had trouble in the playoffs, thinking long term, trouble in January, getting after Mahomes. I just wonder, with the division being in shambles, what's Brandon Bean's next move? Can we address the defensive line, or do we go to a guy like Buda Baker? I'm anxious to see what he has up next, and I think he should make a move. I haven't listened.
All right, Mark, thank you. Yeah, it's going to be a pretty interesting what are we going? We got about a week, right? It's a week from tomorrow already. Holy
yep.
Wow, time, it does fly. The way Miller looked before he went out has me not wanting to rush into, go get another pass rusher. The Patriots just traded Josh Uche to Kansas City. So Kansas City gets some help on the edge. Miller, I don't feel great about rooting for him. So complimenting him sometimes can be a little awkward, but I have some faith in him. The way he looked before he got sat down here with this 4-game suspension, I think that's going to be a nice boost for them getting him back. And he is eligible to return now, right? He's missed these 4 games: Houston, New York, Tennessee, Seattle. So I don't know that I need to go shopping there. The Dwayne Carter injury is interesting because he was really starting to break through, and I don't know that.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That they couldn't use another dude there. And I think I mentioned how good the line has been. Maybe interior offensive line depth. You could talk to me about a linebacker, but I don't know. I'm not trading for a guy who's a starting caliber player. So unless I can get my hands on a starting caliber player that I'm going to sit behind Terrell Bernard and eventually Matt Milano and or Dorian Williams. Think about going into this game without Bernard, and I was very worried about Baylen Spector in the middle of that field, and it did not hurt him at all. They just shut Seattle right down. But linebacker is sort of in my head after what happened last year. Like watching A.J. Klein run around in the playoffs was tough. And so that's a spot I might think about a little bit more as well. Thank you very much for the call. Lines are open, 803-0550. It's pretty great right now, and it's going to be like 70 this week. We got to look at it. We got to look at golf in November. We might get there. I got there last year. I might get there again. I'm very excited about that too. Really, Bills onward and upward. 803-0550 is the number. Mike is out sick today, along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
Yeah, you keep finding them, man. Great seeing you. Awesome covering you today, and congratulations. You're off to a great start, like
always.
Thank
you. Hey, you look good, man. You look really good.
You do too, baby.
I appreciate it. Go Bills. Thank you for the trophy.
Love you, man. Great seeing you.
We'll see you.
I missed the trophy part of that. What was the?
I have no idea what the trophy is.
No idea what the trophy is. A little on TV bromance there with Tom Brady and Josh Allen.
I didn't see the. I didn't hear the broadcast. I heard Brady was like a fan of Josh Allen.
Yeah, I would say that came across. There there were a few things that I just sort of he nobody out there is bothered by it because it was all complimentary to the Bills. But I brought this up on postgame yesterday. Maybe I'm trying too hard. I don't know. I feel like Brady was overextending the level of compliment to Sean McDermott. See how hard it's one of the toughest defenses. Like I don't feel like he saw the real Bills, like the Bills that Tom Brady played. Aside from that one game in Tampa, I mean, it was McDermott's team in 17 and 18 and 19 when he was still in New England, but it just wasn't quite the same thing. I don't know, man. It's because it's Brady, okay? It just annoyed me. Just trying too hard to be super nice to a fan base that I think, you know, he assumes hates his guts. So, you know, I don't know. They can work on you in different ways. And I don't know, maybe he doesn't care at all. But that's the way I perceived it. Talking about Ed Oliver, this came up on postgame yesterday. Like, oh, I'm just so glad I'm way up here and I don't have to deal with this. You played him one time, maybe. Like, it's not like you're talking about a guy that you saw across from you for multiple seasons, twice a year or anything. I thought it was just a little weird. But, you know, fine. I don't hate him doing the games. I'll give him that. But I thought he'd be better at it than he is. I think he's all right. He's fine. I anticipated him being so good at it that it would annoy me. Because objectively, I wouldn't want to like him doing it. And I don't think it's my personal feelings about it that are in the way. I think he's just kind of all right. He's not to me offering up anything above and beyond any sort of newfound angles or wisdom or anything really. So, you know, I don't know. First time on a Bills game, so maybe everybody's got a thought on that too. I don't know. I'm certainly open to hearing it if you have an opinion about it. But I did not. I saw a video of this exchange he had with Josh. But I had not heard any of the audio, so there was some of that for you, Brady and Allen, after yesterday's win in Seattle. Good to have you with us here. I'm the Bulldog. Mike is out sick today. 803-0550 is the number, and we'll fire it right back up on the phones. Ali is up next. Hi, thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Fantastic.
Just got a call, first-time caller here. WGR, listen to you. Via Odyssey, WGR 560 via Odyssey here, driving back from Seattle to Sacramento, Folsom, where I live. Every time the Bills come to, you know, West Coast, I have to see them, I have to represent. So my takeaway yesterday, again, just like last year in L.A. against the Chargers, meeting Pinteron, so many Bills fans, Bills Mafia, just the humbleness, the likeness of them, the bond that you make, connections with new people, you know, traveling from Buffalo or across other East Coast parts, you know, traveling the West Coast, seeing them, meeting them, talking to them, enjoying the game together. It's a blast.
Yeah.
That, you know, I'm experiencing the last 34 years. So just know you have somebody in the West Coast here all the way in Sacramento that is a diehard Bills fan and always will be listening to WGR and and I'll see you guys in LA December 8th. Go Bills.
All right, man. Thank you, Ali. I love hearing that. Because I think, you know, it's part of the reason I'm sort of a big picture guy today, right? Like this is great. It's great. They're absolutely a contender. They look really good to me. Their offense, I think, is getting better as they go, which it makes sense. They just added Amari Cooper. It was his second game. Keon Coleman played his eighth game of his NFL career yesterday. I think he's getting better. And I just feel like they're starting to get a feel for who can do what and what exactly they can really be on that side of the ball. But the fan experience, the number of fans that were there when the game ended, not to say, you know, to ignore them being there for the entire game, in a place like that, that has a reputation for home field advantage, the 12, the whole thing. I mean, Seattle's one of the toughest places you can go. And the fans showed up and showed out. I'll stop short of saying they took over the building. But to hear the quarterback of the home team in Seattle say, at times it felt like we were on the road. I mean, if you were there and you were a part of that, and even if you weren't, if you're just a Bills fan, you should puff your chest out a little bit today. That was an awesome job to get there and do that and make yourself heard and seen by the Bills. Like plenty of guys on that team, including the head coach, talked about and made special note and mention of the fans. And I just want to do the same thing. And for those of you who are there doing that, it's not to say you're not capable of critical thinking about the team, but like right now, do you want to be worried about Kansas City in January? Or do you just want to say, man, that was awesome. that was great. We went out there and just stomped Seattle 31-10. I mean, when this team is on and rolling, they are tough. 31-10, 47-10, 34-10, 31-10. That's four of their six wins. Yeah, I'll leave out the 35-10 when they lost to Baltimore, okay? I'm being a little selective. It just feels really good right now. It is all. And, you know, it'll be a full week. We'll get ready for Miami. And tomorrow and Wednesday, you know, attention will turn to them doing, you know, what needs to be done here and how desperate is Miami. And, oh, you know, are the Bills going to be still up for it with the big lead they've got in the division? And all the stuff that we normally will invest our time and energy in. And I just wanted to say today, like, wave the flag. You know, just wave the flag. It was a great day. A great day for them out there. And, you know, home game with Miami next Sunday. It all just feels real, real good right now. Matt is up next. Hi, Matt. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
Hey, good afternoon. Just calling because I heard you guys talking about Tom Brady as an announcer. Yes. As an announcer in general. And I didn't know if you all caught this yesterday. And if you did, if you maybe saw it the way I did, but I thought maybe in a fun way he took a shot at us as Bills fans. I wish I could remember the exact context of the conversation. He did respond in the conversation and say, you know, like with a wink and a nod, I played the Bills roughly 33 times, and I'm pretty sure that he knows his record was 33-3 against us. So I mean, nobody else in my family caught that. Nobody else I was hanging out with noticed it, but it was one of those things where, like, I perked up. I was like, did he just say that?
I did not notice. I did not catch any numbers. You're suggesting he said how many times they played the Bills, but not how great his record was, right?
Right, but yeah, like, but in saying, like, very passively, like, oh, I think I played them roughly 33 times. Right. Like, who knows how many times he won?
Right, yeah, probably right. Yeah. I did catch, was that at the same time where he talked about, you know, coming in and seeing the fans with, like, images of him, like, hanging in effigy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah, it was right around then, too. Yeah.
Right, yeah. I didn't catch the numbers part of that, but, yeah, he also... he also likes Josh Allen's booty, I guess, right? I mean, that came. I could have said that better. Mike is up next. Hi, Mike. You're on WGR.
Hey, Chris. Happy Football Monday, bud.
Yeah, man.
I will tell you this. I hate TB12 more than anything. You know the Nate Clements hit that plays over and over? It's my screensaver on a video over and over and again. And to me, he's the most disingenuous person on the planet. Yes, the greatest quarterback ever to play, but I can't stand him. So I'll start with that. Second, your opening monologue hit exactly how I feel about the Bills. Everything you said is exactly how I feel. Now, my question to you, Chris, is that come playoff time, I know this is tough for you, but how much confidence do you have in McDermott getting us over the edge? I'm not a hater of McDermott. Uh-huh. I used to love him, but I've become a doubter over the years, and I just want to get your pulse on.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's not tough for me. I mean, I have no problem telling you how I feel about it. I feel probably maybe, I don't know, you didn't say a lot, but maybe I feel kind of like you. Like, I definitely don't think I'm a hater, but I've definitely had my moments where I thought, like, okay, enough of this. I can't. This is not good. We're never going to get there. And that is, to me, that's a function of a moment where you're really upset after a game. And like that was me last year after the overtime loss in Philadelphia and icing the kicker and wasting timeouts and then, you know, kind of kneeling out the end of regulation. I was really hot. And in a moment like that, I think any one of us can feel like it's never going to happen. This guy, this coach, the timeouts, the whatevers, it's just never going to happen. And so I recognize that frustration because I feel it sometimes myself too. But I think what is right, at least what I've sort of leaned on, is that whatever we've experienced up to now does not have to be indicative of what's going to happen the next time. Now, if we get there and there's another smoking gun, so to speak, time management challenges, whatever it is, fourth down decisions, those are like the Mount Rushmore of coach criticism, I think, at this point. Do I know that he's not going to step in it again? Of course I don't. But I also don't subscribe to it's never going to happen. Like, it's never going to happen to me is like the easiest place to stand for a sports fan of any team ever. Because you're almost always going to be right. There's 32 teams. They're not going to win. Well, their odds aren't great to begin with. Even when they're the favorite, their odds aren't great. We said that a lot last year when they were looking great, right? Being the favorite means you got like a 8% chance of winning it. I mean, 8%. What bet do you ever place in your life where your chances of winning are 8%? You're like, all right, I feel great about this. I mean, you just can't. So it's not to say it's lazy because, again, it's born out of frustration and born out of even anger that you just can't seem to get over the hump. But I don't believe Sean McDermott houses some fundamental flaw that will keep him and them from ever getting it done. They haven't done it yet. He's not going to get to do it forever. So at some point they're going to have to. Have I answered? I mean, that wasn't tough. It's just, to me, it's a lot to unpack. But ultimately, I don't sit here in judgment of the Bills coach thinking they can't do it because of him. And, having said that, I understand. I get that. I got there last year. I haven't gotten there yet. I mean, all they did was win until they didn't win anymore last year after that happened, by the way. And, I think the team sort of there was more than just me being mad about the timeouts that happened in that week, if you remember. I mean, that was the week that the very lengthy Tyler Dunn story came out about the misguided is the word I'll choose here. A metaphor about the 9/11 terrorists. And like, just, there was a lot of stuff to unpack, and McDermott was under a lot of heat. And you know what his team did? They leaned into it and just won all the way to the wire. And I don't know, you shouldn't ignore that when you're thinking about him and his role and his place on this team, I don't think you should ignore how the team responded to him when he was under fire. And that's what he was last November, late November, early December. He was under fire. And they responded for him. Thank you for the call. 803-0550 is the number. Mike Schoep is out sick today along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog. Eric Wood coming up at 4 here on WGR. Hey, that's in about 10 minutes. Eric Wood headed straight your way at the top of the 4 o'clock hour here. I am the Bulldog. Mike Schoep is out sick today. Bills demolish the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle yesterday afternoon, 31-10, and now sit at 6-2. Closest competitor in the division, Miami, at 2-5, roll in here for a rematch of week 2. They got Tua Tagovailoa back yesterday, but lost on a last-second field goal to Arizona. So the Dolphins, 2-5, have already had their bye. The Jets are 2-6. They lost in New England. The Patriots improved to 2-6 with the win. Pretty good day in the league yesterday for the Bills. Right? I mean, those 1 o'clock games, everything didn't go their way, but a lot. The Bengals lost again, if you're thinking about them. That's pretty big. The Ravens losing to the Browns. That's awesome. Tiebreaker stuff. You know, we get down the road here. You might be battling with Baltimore. You probably will be for seeding in the playoffs, and they've already got you on a head-to-head. One result that didn't go their way yesterday was Houston. Same concept as Baltimore here. I know they're not in your hair in the division, but playoff seeding, they're probably going to cruise to a division title there, Houston. And they were in a back and forth game with Indianapolis, and the Colts just could not get it closed. So the Texans sort of escaped with one yesterday. Did you happen to catch what to me is almost an unprecedented occurrence with the Colts quarterback yesterday? Did you see what Anthony Richardson did? Third quarter of this game, he tapped out. Like he took himself out because he was tired. Does he know how football works? He's the quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts. He took himself out like a running back or a wide receiver, because he'd been running around on the previous play. And I didn't see a long explanation, but I did see him say pretty much that. And like, you know, I was tired. I told coach I needed a break. You don't do that. You don't do that. If you're hurt, you're hurt. You go down, the trainers, you do not just like, yeah, I need a minute. Line change. Do you know how I'm literally wondering now if the quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts, drafted 5th overall, knows how football works. That is mind-boggling. Good luck getting over that. I mean, it's bad enough that his quarterbacking itself is erratic the word I want? I think erratic is the word. There are spectacular plays. There are physical gifts bursting out of this guy. But there are colossally bad decisions and horrible misses. And I would say tapping out to come out like you're a 3-point shooting expert and your team's on defense, so I'll take this one off. What are you doing? Imagine if Josh Allen in year 2, with a guy behind him, by the way, who's playing like way better than him, went to, there's a lot of breath. I needed a freezy pop. What are you doing? I would be terrified if that were my guy. I would be expecting him to do it again at some really inopportune moment. Like, I don't know. What in the world? I don't know if I've ever seen a quarterback do that before. We've all seen quarterbacks get hurt and leave games. I'm not saying that, but like, just to like, sort of, yeah, I got to change. There was a line change. I don't know, man. Just very, very strange. Related, Colts head coach Shane Steichen to reporters today on whether quarterback Anthony Richardson will start Sunday night in Minnesota. We're evaluating everything. I'll freaking bet you're evaluating everything, including whether or not you have to teach your franchise quarterback some of the like entry-level rudimentary. It's not a rule. It's just not something that ever happens. Imagine Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, Andy, I know it's a two-minute drill here at the end of the first half, but I'm just running around there on that last one, and I'm just kind of tired. Wow. I can't believe that happened. But it did. All right. We'll take a timeout here. Eric Wood straight ahead on yesterday's win and the way forward for the Bills. Lots to get into with Eric, so look forward to that visit as well. And then we'll load up more of your calls as we're talking our way through a Football Monday here. Brought to you by Northwest Bank for what's next. Get started at northwest.com. Mike is out sick today along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog. Eric Wood straight ahead here on WGR.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.